Blog Talk Radio.
You ready? Yeah, I'm ready.
Show me what you got.
I bet. Right lane, not speed, not moving slow, not speeding, but I'm not in cruise control. Firm grip, won't slip, won't lose control. I'm a gangster, but I won't lose my soul. The bars can't be measured like the ruler's broke. The smooth is slow, show you that this dude can go. Go crazy on the mic, flow stupid dope. And don't come in with the heat, I be cooling though. I chill. Chill like frozen, like a hot summer day, I'm in cold stone. Kick out bars like they ain't trying to go home. And upgrade like I'm done with my old phone. Hey, I'm just spitting it, Cougar want that young thing. She just got disciplined, no more contact, had to stop, she ain't feeling it. That's a whole 10 of worms I ain't gonna be dealing with.
Dog, I got the flow, I can feel it in my veins. Dog, I got the flow, I got rhymes inside my brain. I keep going, it runs in my veins. I keep going, it runs in my veins.
Gotta play for a little bit. Alright, let me tone it down. Yeah, that's the beat, baby. Hey, we're in the zone now. Yeah. Balling and shooting D3s. No dilution, so potent. Oh, B-boys, we leaving the track smoking. Oh, we fly with that fire like Moses. To the beat, put flames, bolted. Popping on beats like Dwight Schrute, right? All these instrumentals to write to. Man, y'all handle y'all business. Can't be heat, and y'all flow is real nice too. Pencil and paper, we produce heat. Mm-hmm. On these walls, man, we kick it like Bruce Lee. Yeah. On some loose leaves, giving you what you need. You might have to say this trap in your new feet. Yeah. Love hearing rhyme out the rhyme. Coming out the nine, sound so divine. Try and pack a punch with the flow of each line. Beat was, you know we had to shine. That's it, man. You know what I'm saying? It's been fun right here, man. Looking forward to some more stuff with y'all folks.
Welcome to Beat Wars Part 3. So this is music from the tournament Beat Wars on allpoetry.com. I'm your host, Afaziana, and that song was by Aaron Curry. It wasn't for this particular contest, but, you know, I had to throw back to some Aaron to get us started. Rima, I see you on the line. Welcome.
Bueno. It would have been nice to have
that mean so good?
I could have read that with it.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. The other ones I have the links. That one was an older one that I didn't have the link on me. But
this is all going in my fucking note board, you know.
Yeah. The things that Faziana did wrong. Good.
No, the things you did right, girl. I can't read anyway, so.
So far, it's just the two of us, but I believe Felon and Tans will be calling. Stelina said that she was going to listen, and who knows who else may pop in.
Who knows? Who knows? You never know on these shows.
You don't. Mm-hmm. Never know who to expect. I'm posting the links in Disabilities and Rap Free, as those are the two places it has been requested. And I think pretty much anyone listening is going to be in one of those groups, if not both. So The first song
Victoria,
is actually by you.
Victoria said hi to her double D darling.
Oh, there she is. Oh, there we go.
She's talking to me.
Victoria. Victoria, are you going to call in? I think you should. I don't see her on the switchboard yet, but hopefully she will. Last time, we had so many wonderful things in Contest 2 that we ran out of time. So we were doing the beat Basta Rap Aggressivo by Jadez Beats, or Hades Beats. I'm actually not sure how that's said. And that was the provided track, and everybody had to write to that music. So we had a few carryovers from Contest 2. We're going to get to listen to Rima, Robert, Suicide Suspect, Selena, and Victoria. And then after that, we will do Contest 3, as many as we can fit in our 2 hours. So, Rima, we're going
nice.
To start with you.
Oh, man.
I was hoping to have more people to comment on it, but you're just stuck with me, I guess.
I got lots of comments tonight, so.
Oh, good. Victoria's going to call. And that's okay if your babies are interrupting.
Yeah. Yeah, you can always hear mine in the background, so.
Yeah, but your babies are so cute. Okay.
Yeah.
I think this is Victoria. I'm adding
me
someone else.
Never.
Victoria! Hey! Welcome.
Hi.
Victoria!
Hi.
Hey, Rima.
Hi.
I'm so glad you called.
Well, I can't promise that tiny human beings will not come intruding, but, you know, I'm glad to be here. I've missed you guys. Life's been crazy and kept me away, but I'm glad to be here for this.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Yay. And this way, it's not just me commenting on Rima's thing, so that's excellent, too.
I couldn't leave my free baby
right?
to hang, so, you know. Okay, sorry, I'll stop interrupting.
No. I'm glad you're here. We need your input. So I'm going to play Rima's, and then I want to hear what you think.
My pains have been exchanged. rise and fall of alcohol.
That was Rima, and Victoria, you want to share your thoughts?
So this one always leaves me with goosebumps, not just because of the story that it tells, the effect that alcohol has, the path that it took him down, the consequences of the path and those choices, and even those who had to pay the price of all those consequences, because especially as a parent, sometimes the decisions that we make don't just impact us. They often don't impact just us. But what I found really marvelous about this whole piece is that we have this whole lead up, this story. Then in the center, we have this masterful verse that starts and then literally rewinds, which is kind of the whole concept of this. I wish that I could go back. I wish that I could rewind. I wish that I could do things over. And then from there, we have essentially a from the bottom to the top repeat of the beginning. So we're kind of going back down the path, and it's not exactly rewind. The lines are not completely mirrored, but they are slightly changed. So instead of up in the penitentiary, my enemies hemmed next to me, my kids ride slow upon my knee, reciting ghetto poetry, it's now my enemies hemmed next to me up in the penitentiary, reciting ghetto poetry, my kids ride slow upon my knee. So it's no longer the kids who are having to deal with it. Now it's something that maybe you're kind of sitting back and remembering yourself, remembering that you're no longer in the penitentiary, but the enemies still may, because they haven't changed. And so what I like about it is that it's not this perfect mirroring. We didn't rewind. The song didn't rewind, but we were able to change the path. We were able to step away from this place that we're in, and we were able to course correct. And we have the ability to now look at the fall of alcohol, no longer the rise, like the beginning of it. But now we get to see the fall, and it doesn't get rid of the past, but it lets us start changing how we address that past. It lets us start changing how we address similar situations and similar circumstances and scenarios. And I think that's what's really masterful about this, is that in many ways, it reminds us that we can change our course, and it doesn't make things better, but it does mean that we can do things differently next time we're in this situation. And we don't have to be stuck here. We don't have to stay at rock bottom. We can still climb our way out, even if it's not the exact path that we followed down. So I'm not sure if you meant it that way, but that's how I took it. And I thought it was masterful. It was fantastic.
Thank you, Victoria.
Always.
That was such an amazing, insightful comment. I think it's incredible, and I think that you touched on a lot of the great things. I think it was amazing that he took on this challenge to make it work in both directions. You can start at the top or you can start at the end, and it makes sense either way. So that was a big challenge. It's a palindrome, basically, and he uses such creative wording, like, while baptized in a fountain pen. And like, writing is very important to you. And also, I know that you're a very spiritual man. So to be baptized in your pen is quite the statement. And that born I die, I'm born again, is a reoccurring theme throughout a lot of your writing. So this is, you know, classic Rima. I really loved the line, while highs and lows consume my prose, one would oppose which tomb I chose. Like, you're freaking brilliant. There's such a nice flow to this. It has really great rhyming and cadence. And then, you know, you have this adorable connection to your kids with the ghetto poetry on your knee, but it's also like a very hard, like, strong write about, like, you know, the darkness. So you're open about both sides of things, and I think that's really great. The way that you did your presentation was great. I thought you were on the beat. You had the way that you pronounce things, especially like penitentiary, like penitentiary, it works really well with the music. I found that listening to it on the radio now, the background music felt too loud, but when I was listening to it on my computer earlier, it was balanced better. So I don't know, something about got lost in translation where it's a little bit harder to hear you over the phone, but I thought it was pretty good balance when it was through the computer. So sometimes the format changes things a little bit.
What's
Do you have anything you want to say about it, Rima?
No, really, just, well, I would just say, you know, it never ends well, you know, probably for anybody, but I quit drinking, I quit doing drugs, and I quit getting locked up, so I'm very blessed that way. They kind of go hand in hand with me, and it really sucks when your kids got to come visit you, so I do not recommend that to anybody, so. And one thing else I will say, or one other thing, I did this in like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, like about 10 or 11 different clips to send to Beast. And I still ran out of breath on just a little 4-line. It's tough. That was a quick beat. I love you, boys. You want to say hi?
Hi.
Give me a kiss.
Hi.
With the radio show. I love you, boys. Right to bed, too. Make me come in there. Oh, Mama's counting. When Mama counts, there's going to be some trouble over here.
Oh, you better get to bed.
Right.
That's awesome.
So thank you, guys.
Of course. Thank you for writing and recording. Our
well,
next
thank
one
you for
the
having the beat.
Well, yeah. I love doing these contests. It's great because I'll listen to something and I'm like, oh, I wish I could write to that. Oh, I'm going to make all of you write. Then I get to hear the songs. To the same beat, we have one by Robert M. And here we go. That was the first time I ever heard him write some music, and I thought he did an amazing job. You know, he said last night that he's not musical, and I have to disagree. I think he has a feel for the beat, and he has an amazing voice. So I hope he does more with music. I thought that his phrasing was excellent. I liked "When the Heavens Now Exempt You." I like that he has a dark twist to things, but he also has a kind of reassurance. And it's not the, like, everything is great positivity that forces things on you when you're sad, but it's like you can feel these things and it's going to be okay anyway. We're going to get through it. The audio was just so amazing. His voice is really easy to understand and has, like, a powerful tone to it. Very well done, Robert. Rima, would you like to comment?
I would, absolutely. I thought it was really, really... My phone, see if I was on mute. I thought it was a fantastic write. I really liked the darkness, the theme of it. Everybody's got their thing, but I will say, you know, all it takes is a whisper sometimes, like just a tiny seed planted, and I really like that aspect of this, and, to get people sometimes people, when they're in a tough spot, they think, it's not going to get better, it's just going to get worse or whatever, and that's just a thought put in your head, so I really liked it. You know, it's kind of like, remember the old cartoons and they had an angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder and they're both whispering in the guy's ear and shit. I got like that from this, but the darker side. And I like his voice and I liked him on the beat. And I thought it was really, really good, you know, and it was a lot deeper than just the amount of words that are in here. So I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. And comment.
Excellent comment. Victoria, what did you think?
So I agree. I'd never gotten to hear Robert write to music before. And Robert and I have been friends since like 2014. So that's saying something that in 9 years, I've never gotten to see him do music. And this was masterful. In fact, I told him that when I first heard this, I was like, well, now I don't know what I'm going to write, because every time I listen to the music, I just hear your song over and over and over again. And actually, my piece, I struggled to write because every time I started writing, I was like, oh, I got an idea. I was like, shit, it's Robert. So I love this piece. It is genuinely one of the pieces that I still go back to and just listen to over and over and over again. What I love about it is that there is so often those darkness that we kind of hide away. You know, I remember being the angsty teenager and I was like, ooh, my darkness. And there's an honesty to that. I mean, I actually, as I've been listening to the show, I actually just hung my Christmas present to myself, which is this beautiful 3x3 foot picture of a Grim Reaper. There's a lot of people that don't go to their accountant and is like, oh, you got a Grim Reaper in your office. That's cool. You don't see it, but it's an honest and authentic expression of myself. And so to me, this is a piece about connecting to those shadows, connecting to the realization that as kids, when we think the world is full of rainbows and unicorns, that there's not always just rainbows and unicorns. Sometimes there's a Grim Reaper. Sometimes there's shadows and darkness. And a reconciling of that, that it doesn't have to be bad. It doesn't have to be good. But then he also went further and just beyond telling the story and using a magnificent image for his song, he also has these moments of the bold letters or the italicized letters, you know, meet me in the shadows, friend, but it's italicized and it's emphasized in his speech. And it's kind of like, Are you my friend, or is this some other kind of creature that maybe we shouldn't be friends with? So to me, there's this beautiful ambiguity that lets your mind really play. is this about reconciling with your darkness? Is this a warning of the creatures that hide in the dark claiming to be our friends? Is there a camaraderie that we find here, or is it just the temptation from the devil? And so I think he really captured that in it. And so, you know, even what he says, the devil is in the details, or so they say, you know, and well, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So there's just a real beautiful darkness about it. And I have told him many times, this is deliciously dark. And if there is such a thing as rocker rap, Robert nailed it.
Rocker rap. I like it. All right. Well, since you guys are friends, you got to convince him to come back and give us some more rocker rap.
Yeah, yeah.
<Your homework. laughs> I like it. Our next entry is by Suicide Suspect, and he collaborated with Lil Red, and Phoenix. So I believe Phoenix House is it's Phoenix Society is a rehab facility, and this is relevant because of the content of the song. So they work together on this. Most of it is Suicide Suspect and Lil Red, but you will hear from many different people in the Phoenix Society as well.
Alcohol.
Yo, what's your deal, Steve?
Everything under the sun, bro, but mostly cocaine.
Yo, what's your deal, Steve?
Self-inflicted
pain, toxicity, wine, women, and song. What's your deal, Steve?
What's your deal, Steve?
Fentanyl, alcohol, and cocaine. What's your deal, Steve?
Alcohol.
Drugs. Crack.
Fentanyl and meth.
Heroin and fentanyl.
Fentanyl and meth.
Fentanyl.
Alcohol.
Heroin.
Crystal meth.
A.K.A. sex, THC.
No. I'm not a happy man, it takes to even have a chance. More amount to ram, one slip than an avalanche. But today we do the happy dance, since we are
back.
Yeah, Superman wasn't even stupider plan to crash landing, dropping like a bomb just to conquer the planet. I'm a goner at that, but not today, motherfucker, we are
back.
Breathe, smoke rocket to combat. So dope, overdose upon contact. I'm a super ruin, loser, hypochondriac. Still we are
back.
I was high in narcotics and high in the vodka. Standard intervention in a psychiatry doctor. Besides for the cause of the nausea and digitalize my life throughout both the eyes of that monster. All I wanna do is get high on nostalgia. Fly like albatross across the sky of Awata. Be accomplished in both eyes of my mama. Be a survivor and provide a better life for my daughter,
We are taking our lives back.
Crack, heroin, and crystal meth.
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Crack.
Benzos and opiates.
What did you see?
Alcohol.
Fentanyl and meth.
Alcohol.
Crack, meth, and dope.
Heroin.
Crystal meth.
Alcohol.
Crystal meth and heroin and THC.
Crack and fentanyl
and
mischief.
Calm my mind. You don't want to know. I'm just screaming for those messages. Searching for that dope.
Taking my life back.
There might be some hope, but for now, I need to cope, and that she was always there, but never kind enough to share. Even in my darkest times, she helped me see her light, and when I'm with her, such a bitter delight.
Damn, taking my life back.
She gets high as a kite, now I'm throwing in her fight, and I can never get her out of my sight. But she always wins when I take the fight, for the things I've had to do for her. And the kind of things that I've endured. She poisons me, and brings her body as the cure, but I think I love her.
We are taking our lives back.
We are taking our lives back.
Taking our lives back.
I knew that there was no one else, no one else gave a shit. I wasn't gonna let him give up on himself.
Taking our lives back.
Thank you. thank you, Suicide Suspect, Little Red, and the Phoenix Society for this piece. I thought it was incredible the way that they framed it with that refrain of taking our lives back and using the camaraderie of being in rehab together and working together towards achieving their goals of reclaiming their lives that had been kind of taken over by their addictions. I thought it was really effective to have so many of the people chime in with that. And it also shows how widespread it is, that it's affected so many people. It's not just one voice that's reaching out. It's a lot of people who have different or sometimes the same vices, and now they're trying to deal with it. I really liked the line, "I'm not half the man it takes, you have half a chance, more mountain ram, one slip, and it's an avalanche." I mean, mountain rams are amazing climbers, but, you know, they take dangerous paths, so it's easy to, once they do fall hard, and I think that's a good metaphor. "She's so dope, I overdose upon contact." It works for the drugs, it works for kind of like the seduction of a woman. I thought that there were a few double meanings in here that worked well, because there were also addictions beyond just the drugs. You know, there were people who said their addiction was women. You know, there's sex addiction, there's I said addiction instead of addiction. Addiction. so many different kinds that can be explored and worked on. And I think that they handled it really well in this. It was a catchy song. It had a lot of emotions. And they made it into, like, beautiful music, turning your pain into music. That's the way to go. So I'm really proud of them for putting this together and for working on themselves. Victoria, would you like to comment?
Absolutely. So I think we all struggle with our own addictions, whether we want to admit it or not, because addiction is such a charged topic. I mean, nobody wants to say that they're an addict, but I think we all have those addictions that we don't always want to admit. I mean, and I've talked about this when I had my own radio show, but I have a history of self-harm. And as much as that's not a drug I'm putting in my veins, I'm still harming my body in a very physical and intentional way. And yet, even in this, they talk about, you know, sex being an addiction. Is that desire to use something in excess that we shouldn't? And so what I love about this is that road to recovery aspect of it. There is a raw honesty in this of the drug of choice, a power of this isn't easy. It's not something that they are necessarily proud of. It's not something that they're making a joke about, but it's honest. It's that acknowledgement and the responsibility of, yeah, this is a problem. This is what I do. And yeah, a lot of them are those actual drugs, fentanyl, alcohol, heroin, meth, crystal meth, THC, shrooms. You know, there's a lot of things that we can get hung up on. And while there's still the ambiguity of there were 36 people in this song, and we don't know all their names, there's still that reminder that regardless of your background, regardless of who you are, you can acknowledge where you are and you can do better. And it reminds me in a lot of ways of even Rima's story in its own way of doing that. It reminds us that ultimately there comes a choice. Are you going to stay where you are and continue to fall and continue to drown? Or are you going to do something to change it? It's not an easy road. It's not a fun road. It's not a road that you're going to be praised for. More often than not, you're going to be looked down on it for. But it is still something that is meaningful and important to recognize people are as they repeat over and over, taking their lives back. Maybe they don't always say it as strongly as they want to, but they are still continuing and still trying. And there's real beauty in that. So I really appreciate the raw honesty. I appreciate the participants that came with us, the collaboration. I cannot imagine being in a group and someone saying, hey, I'm making a song. Can you talk about your addiction? You know, your drug, talk about your drug of choice. And then everybody all united say, taking our lives back. I could imagine myself in full honesty being like, I don't think I want to participate in that, even with the ambiguity of my name not being on it. And so the fact that these people took that accountability, even a small way, immortalized their participation in this, it says something. And in many ways, I hope, not being part of that, but I hope that this is also something that they can refer back to on those hard days, to be able to remind that, you know, hey, once upon a time, I did participate in this song. And while I don't really feel like I'm excited about taking my life back today, it's still there. I still want to do it. I'm going to listen to this to give me that encouragement. So I think this is just, it's phenomenal in so many ways. And yet it's also so vulnerable and honest that it just leaves me in awe.
That was a beautiful comment, Victoria. And the suicide suspect told us that he brought his anthology of our poems to rehab. So we have an anthology from Rap Free that we published some poems from a previous tournament in the group, and he brought that and he was reading it out loud. He was doing one a day at least, reading to the people in rehab, and he said that they really liked it, and so they're excited to be in a project that's connected to all of that. So I was really excited that, first of all, that anyone was listening to our poems, but also that it seems to, like, have an impact and they wanted to be involved. So I had all the feels. Rima, what did you think?
Well, I thought it was, and I still think it's a sad song. It's a positive song, but it's a sad song, unfortunately. You know, the saddest lines to me were, he wants to be accomplished in both eyes of his mama, be a survivor and provide a better life for his daughter. And, you know, all I know is all I know is that I've said this same thing so many times when I was locked up. I was like, oh, man. This time I'm going to fucking get out and I'm going to do straight and make my mother proud, take care of my kids. And I didn't. I got out and got high. Or I got out and got drunk and got high. Or got fucked. Or whatever it was. All of them. They all went together. You know? And so, you know, and I love Clowny. Like, I really do. He's like a little brother to me. And all I could, you know, you can't hug a druggie, you know. People tried with me, and the reality is, man, you got to quit or you're going to die. And that's just it. There's no other option, you know. And that's a fact. And I hope that he quits, and I hope everybody in here quits. They won't. The odds are they won't, and it's really just a, you know, it just kind of bums me out and to read this because, man, I've said these things so many times. So many times, and I just broke my own promises and shit. And I hope that they all, like not everyone's an alcoholic, you know. It's hydroxyquinolins, and I used to always envy the guy who could have like one beer and then go home to his wife and kids, you know. As I'm closing the fucking bar down, you know how you find out you're an alcoholic? You drink. You take that first drink. So, you know, it might be old-fashioned, out of style, but I totally preach abstinence in my own house. The only way you'll know you get hooked on something is if you do something, and it's always going to be offered to you from somebody else that you think is your friend. So it also reminds me of the previous song. So you know, I don't know. I just pray for Clowney. He's my bud, and I hope, you know, he's a good dude and, you know, got so much potential and, you know, everybody else in this song, too, you know. So I just, it was just sad because I said these same things and thankfully, you know. But it took my mother dying for me to, like, you know, they say you hit rock bottom. Like, seeing my mother dead, like, and I wouldn't wish that upon somebody. So hopefully, you know, before anything tragic happens because, you know, I don't know. It's pretty deep in comment.
It is really deep, and I'm sorry that it took that for you, but I'm very proud of you of how far you have come. I mean, like, I didn't know you back then, but you have your shit together now, and I'm really proud of that, and I have high hopes for Suicide Suspect that he's gonna make it too, I really hope, and, you know, you're a good example, Rem, of someone who can do it. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is done. So I'm not giving up on it.
Still can't dance.
Well, you know, I never could.
You just see me and Ash on the dance floor. We're falling.
Wait, I need to verify this. So my almost 4-year-old is sitting on my lap and was talking to me about a picture in my office. And did I just hear right that we went from a very deep, beautiful, intimate, reflective, honest conversation to just I can't dance, as if they are in the same hand? Is that what just happened, Rima?
That's what I do. Humor is my go-to.
Hi.
Hi.
That's my youngest.
Hi.
What's your name, Bubby?
I can't hear her.
No, I have a headset on. You want to say hi?
I want your headset.
No, you don't need my headset. Can you go help Chrissy get ready for bed? No? Okay. Could you bring Aries downstairs because he's running around?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry.
Nah, don't ever be sorry. Man,
we
that's a
can
blessing.
Do that when we go to bed, my love, okay? When I'm done, I will read it to you. Okay. I love you, baby. Go in your room. Sorry, children. Bedtime.
That's okay.
But anyways,
our next
dancing is not the same as what you have overcome, Rima.
But it's how he copes.
You know what? Humor is a valid coping mechanism.
Okay, I just realized what the picture in Stellina's thing is, I thought it was a frog from far away because I'm freaking blind. It's a woman in a green dress. I thought it was a frog.
Faith, I love you so much. It kind of does look like
note,
a frog. You are
valid in that. Here's Selena's audio.
My youth, you stole my beauty. You turned my life into a service of duty. Yeah, you whispered words I wanted to hear, but then when you had me, you never came near. Deprived of love, deprived of affection, you went and tore away every connection. You didn't want a lover, just a dutiful wife. But hey man, what about my life? I never know what mood you'll be in. Can't count the times your dinner went in the bin. So many lonely nights watching TV, the bitter tears that others couldn't see.
A carefree girl that asked only for love. A cruel heartless word and push and shove. What the hell did I ever do to you? Except give you all my love, loyal and true. I don't know who to trust, I feel so insecure. Even making a friend leaves me so unsure. Parts of me no longer exist. It's been so long since I was even kissed. That happy girl who laughed and smiled with all the charm of an innocent child, all swept away in your selfish sea. Now what's gonna become of me? I'm no longer young, no longer pretty. Still have my brain and I'm kinda witty. But most men out there are not looking for that. They're not that interested in intellectual chat. Or the ones I like just don't like me. My world in a nutshell, fait accompli. So I'm resigned to being alone. Any pleasure I find is only unknown. Is a little love asking too much? A fond embrace, an eager touch. I want to feel alive inside, but I won't beg. I still have my pride. I'll give you all you want and more. I'll make you sigh, I'll make you roar. I have so much that I want to share. If you're that man, come and take me there. So kicking you to the curb, well it's about time. What if I find a guy who's not in his prime? I've lived with less all of these years. A handsome face that only brought me tears. I want some kindness, someone who makes me laugh. To hold my hand walking down life's path. A man who's not afraid to show passion. And when I hurt, a little compassion. So why is that all too much to ask? Ain't like it's an arduous task to have a woman who's passionate and kind. Come on guys, are you out of your minds? But if it's to be and that's the deal, that I no longer have the right to feel, then so be it, I must accept my fate. But hey, give me a call before it's too late. Is a little love asking too much? A fond embrace, an eager touch. I want to feel alive inside, but I won't beg. I still have my pride. I'll give you all you want and more. I'll make you sigh, I'll make you roar. I have so much that I want to share. If you're that man, come on.
Stelina, I thought that was amazing. It's a really emotional piece. Like it made me cry the first time just thinking about how lonely and isolated she feels and unappreciated, and it feels very realistic. It's not, you know, the Hollywood type of abuse and failed marriage. It's those little things that are happening or aren't happening that makes you miserable, and that self-esteem problem of you start to wonder, do I deserve the things that I'd like? It's not asking too much, but she handles it so well. It's very convincing. And the audio was fantastic. I think she went from singing to rap and spoken word kind of thing. And she has really good timing with her transitions between the types of audio. She went well with the way that the music went. Powerful song. Victoria, what were your thoughts?
You know, getting to hear her on this, I think that she did such a beautiful job with both the flow of the rapping and then the meter within the song. It kind of has this like hopeful upbring. So the rap is kind of a little, it's harder. It's coming from that place of ready for a fight and trying to break her way out of this confine that an unloving marriage can find you in. And then she has that almost ethereal kind of song that she sings, that reminder of the desire, the hope to be something more, to be loved more, the promise of what she has to give and what she also hopes to receive. But yet it still has that haunting reminder of, is a little love asking too much? And I have to say, in many ways, when I have an ex-husband, and throughout the entirety of that marriage and even that divorce, I consistently heard how I was nothing but a three on a good day, that no guy was ever going to want me, that he was the best I'd ever had, that I was somehow failed and faltered because I made more money than him, even though I have a college degree and he didn't, and I was trying to get him one. I mean, there's this reminder of coming from that, and this is where I really connected with it. There's this reminder that there are those relationships that we find ourselves in, those romantic relationships with our spouses, and they're supposed to be the ones that love us for who we are. They're supposed to be the ones who love us unconditionally as we are and accept us as we are, and those are the people who are supposed to be there and support us and all those beautiful things that we make when we say our vows. And there are definitely a lot of times where those relationships fail and they start to make you wonder if being loved is too much, if there's a reason that someone doesn't want us anymore and maybe we should just stay because, well, we're no longer pretty, we're no longer desirable, we're too intellectual, because that's what we've heard for years. And so there's, in all of this, there's that fight, but at the same time, there's that reminder of, but am I worth it? You know, if I'm worth it, why doesn't anybody see it? And that gives me goosebumps. It breaks my heart in its own level, because it is that self-doubt that weaves its way in our mind and just makes us ask, but what if? What if I'm wrong? What if, even though I think all of this, what if nobody sees it? And so there is a very meek, painful, hard piece of this that is even very reminiscent of that picture. Sure, she might escape that grasp that's holding her, that's crushing her, but does that mean that she actually got out unharmed, or did she just get out? Just thinking about it gives me goosebumps. It's a stunning piece by Selena.
That was a really good comment. Rima, what were your thoughts?
Well, first of all, man, she nailed it. She's such a good singer, you know? Like, just really, really did well. And, of course, I've had way too many drugs in my life. But the way when she transitioned into, like, the singing, like the melody part, man, it reminds me of a song that I'll never remember. But it was very, very, very pretty, very sad pretty, though, you know? Really good voice. I really liked it. I can't sing like that, so. And then I will say this on the content of it. You know, like, I have been that guy, so I can speak with some experience, and I can just say that ultimately we did not deserve you, you know. And I know that sometimes some people take things as it's their fault, or however the case may be, but in situations like this one appears to be, you know, we take shit for granted, and we don't keep our promise, and I'm not sure why, but I do know this, that for everybody who writes a rhyme like this or a song like this, there is somebody who's been on the opposite end, who was walking around, who was looking for you. And then you guys will find, it's like, it's such a trippy thing, you know? You will come across each other at some point, and I don't know when, but you will. And then all of these will be such a faint, distant memory. of just some guy who didn't deserve you. Because I just will tell you, you know, we sometimes think we are just the greatest thing in the world. But we're only as great as our woman is. And we just sometimes don't recognize that. So, excellent, excellent song. And comment.
That was some brutal honesty that you're, you know, putting some blame on yourself there. And I appreciate that.
Well, I was
you
a
seem like you're pretty great
shit,
with your
me.
Current wife.
Well, I am. That's different.
You've learned.
I have learned from my mistakes, yes.
Excellent. Our last one for contest two is Victoria. So now I'm going to play Victoria's audio.
In the closet.
Who says I'm hiding?
Blood.
goosebumps. I love this so much. It got a gold, and I mean, there was perfect score. Oh. I'm interrupting.
I am out.
This was incredible. It has such depth, like the way that you broach the subject of self-harm. Let the scarlet lines I'd carefully drawn, and don't worry, I draw too. The way that you handle that is just so, like, it's subtle, but also like direct at the same time. Those are kind of contradicting descriptions, but it's incredible. There's a spookiness to it with the monster, but the fact that the monster is metaphorical just makes it even scarier. The way that you did your singing / rapping / talking fit the music so perfectly. I was completely blown away by this. Amazing. Rima, what do you think?
Absolutely loved it. Man, it was so good. And I know I said this before, but and I don't want to put too much on you, but Victoria is going to sing at my funeral. So you have such a hauntingly beautiful voice. No doubt. And it's like something that's like that I would need right there, you know. So, pinky promise, no getting out of it. I know Victoria didn't promise, but hopefully she will. It's all going to be in my will, so. I thought it was excellent, man. It was so good, you know. Your voice is just, gee whiz, so, so good. And your writing is just as good, you know. So, I'm glad that you've gotten to a new today, and you know, kind of a weird theme going with songs tonight. It must have been the beat or something. And then heading into that, like, so weird the whole night. But I'm glad, absolutely, that you are here with us right now and on the radio with us and. You know, you got the joy of your babies running around and whatnot. So, you know, sometimes, you know, there's a lot of different types of self-harm, and I'm glad you're here. You know, for real. The song was just absolutely amazing. There's really not a whole lot I could say because it was so, so good. It absolutely deserved the gold. No doubt about that. So, the whole story, you know, man, the fights we go through, really just stellar, and I never use that word, so, excellent write, excellent recording, everything about it, fantastic.
I agree completely. That was the last one to contest number two. So those were the carryovers from last show, which have taken half of this show because they're just so good. And now we are going to start contest three. So this contest is to a new beat. This beat is called Blackjack, and it's by B Noise. Noise spelled N-O-I-Z-E. It's a 90s jazz boom bop beats.
You are so proper. How was that spelled again?
Aren't I?
One more time. Yes.
Noise with a Z.
Okay.
Well, you know, I got to make sure that people can find the original artist.
Right. I know.
My responsibility. I lost my internet. One sec. Tell me how you would describe the bee noise in the less proper way, Rima. How should I have said it?
No, you know, that's why you're the host, right? With the most. Because you cross the I's and dot the T's like nobody else. So
that is
professional.
Here we go. So Aaron is our first entry for that. And here we go. Got Aaron up there. Aaron Curry, I should specify. And here it is.
We ain't fighting, man. We ain't fighting. I could crush this person. You could crush that person. But don't do it, though. Going to work, taking a ride like the Astley's. Guess I'm moving too slow. Lady beeping behind me. Traffic lady tripping and she pulling right beside me. I'm out of my business, so please don't try me. She started cursing at me and then she spit off. She moving real fast like Sonic the Hedgehog. My job's at the next turn, it won't be long. No problem hitting a woman. Yeah, I know that that's wrong. So Lord, please let her curse words just stay verbal. Flying out her purple colored lips, smoking herbal. My hands speed like a stampede, I could hurt you. God, give me patience, I know that that's a virtue. Girl, I'm trying to ignore you, I ain't trying to diss you. But if you hop out that car, I'ma crush you with no issues. You call up your boyfriend, and he gon' get crushed too. I'm blacking y'all eyes, and y'all lips gon' get bust too. Let me chill. It ain't that serious, I'm letting my mind go too far with it. Nah, we ain't getting violent out here, man, we chillin'. Can't fight her, babe. Gotta pick your battles wise. Fight the good fight, not a bad fight. That's a bad fight right there. Dog, I'm trippin' regardless, I'ma just stay in the car. Yeah, she mad, but ain't no need in taking it far. Girl, you got it. I'ma just go to work though. I want to feel good next Sunday in my church clothes. Not behind bars, letting go of the small stuff. No clenched fists, my hands won't be balled up. Nah, you want no hands, I don't want no smoke.
Nope.
Don't want anyone to end up in a chokehold. This ain't gonna worth it. Nah, that's a no. Yeah, girl, you got it, but I'ma still go slow. I got 3 speeding tickets, I don't want no more. I'm not trying to have speeding tickets by the bolo.
Slow down.
And besides, fighting them was aimless. It would kinda mess up the message I've been proclaiming. God, give me self-control to stay on chill mode at all times. That's my prayer, for real though.
For real though. Let it slide, man. It ain't that serious, you know what I'm saying? Even if you win the fight, do something big in the moment, it could lead to some other stuff, some bad stuff, you know what I'm saying? You get locked up, lose some stuff. Nah, sometimes it's best to just let that person have their moment, and then you go on and live the rest of your life free. You feel me?
Curry, he has such a chill vibe. I love it. He like just flows with the music, no matter what the music is. He just sounds so natural on it, and always like a wholesome freaking message from him. You know, like, you know, don't let your road rage take control. I feel like every single one of his songs has been a, I almost screwed up, but then I thought about it, and I stepped back. he is, like, such a good example. Also, he has, like, all of these geeky little references, and when I say geeky, I mean that as a compliment, because these are my people. She's moving real fast, like Sonic the Hedgehog. Just adding that little bit in just makes it extra fun for me. But the concept of little everyday things, like someone being a jerk in traffic, and the way that that kind of flares up our temper, and then talking yourself down, de-escalating the situation, because, you know, you don't want it to get crazy where you get in an actual fight and somebody ends up locked up. I mean, it's pretty extreme, but it happens. So he calms himself down, and I really like that kind of inner conversation that you get here. It just flows so beautifully. It's conversational language, but it's like masterful the way that he puts it together, where it's like exactly the right cadence to make it work. Amazing. Rima, what were your thoughts?
Oh, man, you know, I always enjoy Aaron Curry. He is, he's very wise, you know, very, very wise. And I totally enjoyed this song, and, you know, and he always has a good amount, he has some really, really clever lines all the time. He puts just enough comedy in it, you know, some funny lines in a serious situation. You know, like, his right is like how this particular, he writes the way this particular right is played out, and if that makes any sense, you know? Like, it's a serious situation, and he knows it can be a serious situation, but just like in this where he just, like, his right's the same way. I don't know. Tough to really pinpoint what I'm trying to say there and shit. Athariana, what am I trying to say?
That he has a good
his
balance
style,
between the serious and
his
the funny.
His writing style fits this exact right that he did right here. It's like it's personified. And he's really good at that. He does that in all his rights. Every time I hear him, and he's just smooth. He's got a very smooth voice. And he's like real laid back, you know. Like, I'm always breathing hard and trying to, you know, like, he's just, it's almost like he's just having a conversation. He's so smooth and shit. So I always appreciate that about him. And, you know, and he has good lessons in here, you know, because, you know, in a fight, even when you win, you lose, you know. Like, I just thought it was a really good write. Excellent write for Aaron Curry. And comment.
You know, I'm pretty sure he's like a third of your age, so that might help with the whole, like, being able to breathe thing. But
let me see. I don't think he is.
Shots are fired, people. Shots are fired.
Don't worry, Ryman's going to be in better shape than me when he's like 102.
Dang, I got to get people trying to bag on me about
okay,
that.
Okay, Bubby, you go to the bathroom. Sorry.
Victoria, would you like to comment?
I would love to.
Yeah, that's right, Rima.
So,
go to the bathroom.
Yeah, Rima, go. What are you? Okay, go to mommy's bathroom. Both of my girls apparently have to go to the bathroom at the exact same time when they're supposed to be in bed. And there's definitely no coincidence about that, guys. Like, definitely not.
That's the best. How old are they?
Alara is going to be 4 in 2 weeks, and Aria is 5 and a half. So they're babies.
I got the same. I got one who just turned 6 and one who's about to. And they got to do everything at the same time, every time. And they're boys. So it's universal,
yeah.
I think.
I think so. You know, I will take the camaraderie between my girls, because me and my siblings don't have a good relationship. So if they need to bond over bathroom time, then by golly, go hold hands and do what you need to do. So
yeah, absolutely.
So I have to say, I've gotten to watch Aaron's work over the last year because it's the second Beat Wars that I've gotten to participate in. And I am always so delighted by his pieces. There's this beautiful wholesomeness like Faze was talking about. But then there's also these, and I'm not a rapper, guys. I think we've all figured that out by now. I'm not a rapper, so I don't know if these are the right things, but he's like, intro, verse one, mid-song conversation, verse two, and closing remarks, which kind of reminds me more like the legal system, like the closing remarks of the attorneys. But there's just so much fun and beautifulness in this. Even the way that he says, got to pick your battles wisely, fight the good fight, not the bad fight. That's a bad fight right there. You know, it's kind of this after remark, like, oh yeah, by the way, watch out for this. I really love the playfulness that he brings to all of his pieces. And to me, it makes you want to listen to it even more. So many times we approach music with our own demons. And I was talking to my husband about this, is that if you listen to, there was an artist just that committed suicide just this last year, a lot of them do, but if you listen to their song, they are fairly dark because we expose ourselves in our work. And maybe Aaron is just innately this beautiful, bright spirit who has no burdens, but all of his pieces have this beautiful, playful wholesomeness to it. And to me, that he represents or he embodies that decision to be happy, to find joy, to find goodness and playfulness in everything. And you see that in all of his works. These, you know, he can talk about some hard subjects. He can talk about spirituality. He can talk about, you know, just choosing to do the right thing. And yet he does it in such a way that you want to listen. You get engaged because it's not preachy. It's playful. And it talks about hard situations, but it doesn't drag you down into that dark place. It still kind of lifts it up like, well, there's still hope. And so I think there's a real beauty in the way that he does that. Because I know that I struggle to write happy pieces when I'm in the dumps. And I struggle to write, you know, especially when I'm stressed. I mean, to be frank, I haven't gotten to participate in the last two because I've been so inundated and stressed that I can't get out of my own head. And yet here is Aaron without a fault or a falter, being able to continue to provide this beautiful, uplifting pieces. And he does it so masterfully that it always works. Adore him. I adore him in so many ways.
I second that. Aaron is awesome.
I third that.
Well, I don't know if he's listening. He hasn't entered the last two contests, so we'll have to poke Aaron and just be like, hey, we love you, come back.
I'll poke him.
All right, everybody poke him.
There's no poke option on all poetry.
Well, get a stick. A gentle one.
Harsh. So harsh.
Oh my God, Dave.
I'm picturing on like Friends, you know, when they're poking ugly naked guy. Now I'm not saying that Aaron is either ugly or naked, but like they have like this thing that goes from apartment building to apartment building, and they're trying to like see if their neighbor's okay. Yes, that's us now.
This is great.
The next song is by AJ Calvano, and it's called A Letter to Aunt Stephanie. And Grimo, which I realize a lot of people like and I'm a little bit afraid of, as I've told him. So I need to, like, take my phone away from my head because I'm going to, like, have an anxiety attack. But I'm listening. Just so if you are afraid of screaming, prepare yourself. It's good screaming, but here we go. AJ, there. Thank you. was AJ Calvano. I thought he had some really strong metaphors and some interesting phrasing. Screamo's totally not my thing. It kind of scares me, to be honest with you. I'm just very jumpy. But the parts where he was singing in the middle, I thought that he flowed nicely. Victoria, what did you think?
So also, I don't tend to be one who tends to listen to screamo, but what I found really impressive about this is, if I recall the progression of this year's contest, this is the first time that he really did something like this. And so looking at that in line with kind of the story that he's telling, to me, it really speaks about the desire to fit into society and understanding that maybe you aren't. And he chose a medium that is not something that a ton of people, I mean, I'm sure there's a very healthy population that listens to it, but dealing with the crowd that we're dealing with, it's not something that maybe they all listen to. And so I think that there was a beautiful testament in there of providing something that's unexpected. It calls yourself to the attention. It calls you to really sit with it. And so, I mean, especially in lines like, I've lived the life of a fool, a sweetheart, hard-pressed in being a fool's goat, laying down a ridicule misfit, abandoned road. It was suicide, I wrote, encircling all around me was not love, but traitors to have my own savior notes, sabotage, bimbofication, alienated flashings of wolfhound sheep-coated strokes. I mean, there's a lot in that. The harsh reality of wanting to be loved and not finding it, being too sour for some people and too sweet for others, you're not really fitting into that taste. You're expecting to be a misfit, but you don't fit in with the misfits. And even if you're suicidal, maybe society kind of pushes it off as, well, you're just an angsty teenager, or it's not real. And I'm not a person who's ever, I had a boyfriend who committed suicide. And so it's not something that I've personally ever had the desire to do, but there was once back in 2015 where I actually was at risk for committing suicide. I bring that up. I had the plan. I had the means and the to do, but I remember calling my mom and I said, Mom, I need you to come. I'm really not in a good headspace. And overwhelmingly, my family's response, and I'd never made a threat of suicide before, overwhelmingly, my family's response was, she's probably faking it. And that line particularly to me speaks to that, to the way in which we dismiss people's cries for help, the way that we abandon people because we think that they're putting on an act, or we think that they don't really mean it, or maybe our perception of them is that they're just doing this for attention, when in reality there is that abandonment because we don't know where we fit and we don't know who we are and we don't know our purpose in the world. And that is a very real reason to be in that headspace. So the fact that he chose this medium, which is in some ways aggressive and yet in some ways is very much a cry for help, a cry to be seen, I think it was really intelligently done. Like, there truly is a musical component to this that speaks deeply to the soul. So not the kind of music I typically listen to, but something that I think he did very masterfully. And I think it was the perfect medium for this context, which is really, really hard hitting of, hear me, don't leave me here alone. And yet consistently feeling as if that's just the lot he's stuck with. Just heartbreaking. Fantastic job. Yeah, heartbreakingly so.
No, I'm really glad you pointed that out, that it is a perfect medium for his message, and that he also transitions from the screaming to the kind of sadder singing at the right moments in his lyrics. that there are some parts that need to be screamed and there are other parts that are more fitting to be sung. And as we go through the tournament, he is using, I think, more of the singing and rapping, but also he includes the screaming, and he's very strategic about where he uses the screaming. It always has meaning when it changes form, and I think that's really important. So I'm glad that you pointed that out. Rima, would you like to comment?
I would. I think, you know what, he's got some such, he's a really great writer, you know. At the very beginning, the Broken Arrow. And then you think it breaks off, but it goes right into Cupid. Like, his shit connects in such a trippy way if you look for it. And he's really a good writer. Really, really good writer. And, you know, I get at it, and it's all about love, you know. And I will say, you know, a lot of people say love hurts, and love doesn't hurt. You know, it's the absence of love or when love ends. Love is beautiful. And I would just say to anybody, you know, like, if you, you know, it's easy sometimes, especially if you're feeling a little down, to point out things that anger you. But if you look beyond those things, you will find things, you know, I have found that I will find what it is I'm looking for. You know, if I'm looking for a fight, I'll find a fight. If I'm looking for rage, I'll find rage. But, you know, I think if you just, you know, I think if you love yourself, anybody, if you love yourself, everything else is just little stuff, you know, and everybody wants to be loved. And when it seems like there's no one to love you, there is. And you can always love yourself. You are the key to your own feelings. And, you know, I'm not him, but it's, you know, anger is such a lie, you know, it's a false emotion. But it's so easy to go to, especially as males, you know, cause we're taught not to cry when we're young and whatnot. And so we go to anger cause it's easier. And, but man, it's such a lie. Beyond all that, I think he's a cool dude. I like him in the rap battles. You know, he gets jiggy with it, and so and his writing, you know, the screaming, also is not my thing, but the writing is my thing, and I thought it was really really well done. Really, it's like a chain that comes down. So I thought it was fantastico. End comment.
Excellent comment, Rima. Our next entry for the same beat is Victoria. Rima has requested that we bump you up in the alphabet because, you know, we got to make sure that we have time for it. So.
Oh, no.
Saturday,
Victoria Frost, everybody. I loved that. It has, like, you're just vibing so well with the music. There's this, like, jazzy sexiness to it. I think my comment was that it was yummy, and I stand by that. The audio was great. The lyrics were smooth. It was just awesome. Rima, would you like to comment?
I have various comments. One, I recommended that to Aphasiana because you know what? You did take the time of your life out of your life to come and join us. So I thought since you did that, it would be very courteous to play your piece. See? Absolutely. And second, man, honestly, dude, and I ain't even lying. This could be like an outro song to a movie. Like, that's the vibe I got off of it. Like, I just watched a fantastic movie, and then this is the song closing it out. Like, and it could be an acid flashback telling me that, but it was, like, that good. Like, I like literally could just see it somewhere. I could, it seems like I, at some point, in my life, it seems like I will hear you somewhere beyond these contests. So that's what I will say. And I thought it was a fantastic, right? It was soft and smooth. And my favorite line is the pull of need. That is such a power. You know what? That the pull of need, you know, hey, right? I don't love you because I need you. I need you because I love you, right? Yeah. That's what it's about right there. And man, just such a great song. Like, everything about it, you really, really did well. I thoroughly, thoroughly loved it, no doubt. End comment.
Thank you, Rima. Thank you. I appreciate that. Both of you.
I like your idea of the outro. I can picture listening to this while credits are rolling as well. It's like that
right.
Kind of sum up the movie kind of music that just lets you vibe the vibe of the movie a little bit longer. Yes.
I mean, you know what? Because, okay, Afaziana, look, you don't have to twist my arm. I will star in the movie, okay? I will.
All right.
You are amazing.
What's my role?
Huh? Well, that'll be the movie. See, you and I overcame obstacles. You know, I don't think that movie's ever been done before, right? And at the end, we're walking down the beach holding hands, and this song's playing. Boom. There's your whole movie.
All right.
I love it.
I'm in.
Perfect concept.
I'm so original with my movie idea.
We've overcome obstacles and we're walking down the beach. There we go.
Right.
Love it. Tan's comments, Victoria, you are like a beautiful angel when you sing. Gorgeous lyrics, top to toe dope.
Agreed.
I love her.
Tans is such a sweetheart. We love you, Tans. Who do we have next? We have Beast. Snake in the Grass by Beast. Putting the links up there so you can read along. Here we go.
Question everything, like how did I invest in these? Accept them get the best of me. I let them sleep invested deep till the rest of me just went to sleep. I remember when I wasn't beast, feasting on aggressive
beats of pleasant treat. My pencil sweet, venting on my gentle sheet. Credentials weren't straight, intention wasn't mean, and quintessential took a seat in the presidential speech. Mentally believed that weasels weren't cheats, that people wanted peace, and briefly I was deceived by a chief of naive. Like a tree with green leaves, breathing free for a season in spring, but ring, ring.
People want the peace, no achieving those dreams.
Once had wings, so the bad things grab the sad swings, stab the care strings with mad things and glad things, and passing drinks with mashes and clashes with the brashing. But past delicious, there's a splash of pink panther. Snuggable, fuckable, uncomfortable with vulnerable, insufferable, lovable. But some motherfuckers wanna come and bust a bull's bubble, push buttons so combustible, where destruction becomes unrecoverable.
Is awesome. I really like how she always has such an amazing balance of strength and vulnerability. She's kick-ass, but she also has like this openness that she's willing to put herself out there, and that is strength in my mind. You can see that it's a song without even listening to it, but love listening to it because she has that rhythm to her. I really liked the part that says, where is it? I remember when I wasn't beast, feasting on aggressive beats, a pleasant treat, my pencil sweet, venting on my gentle sheets. When writing was hopeful and it wasn't this like, grr kind of thing where she has to get her anger out, it was gentler, and she had to toughen up to deal with life and to cope with difficult situations. She ended up, you know, hardening a little bit. I mean, she's still amazing and sweet, but she has that edge. I quite like that edge on her. She's tough, but it's sad that she needed to protect herself from those snakes in the grass. I thought this was wonderful in its lyrics and in its sound. It got silver, which we like to call her gray hairs in the contest. She's recently been getting some gold teeth as well. She likes to decorate herself throughout the tournament. So right now she has some gray hair and some gold teeth. Well, it's pretty impressive.
I love it.
Rima, what did you think of Beast's song?
I always like Beast. And also, she was going to call in, and she has a very good reason, because, you know, she always calls in. So certainly miss her calling in. I really like Complexity Glass. Out of this whole thing, and I could go into how deep it is and that, but that Complexity Glass was very clever, and I really like it. She's a very complex woman. And I will say, you know, at some point, a lot of people, and it's a bummer, but a lot of people need to find that inner beast, whatever that may be, because you can only put up with so much bullshit, you know, especially as a woman. I keep a woman on a higher pedestal just because, and, you know, sometimes you just got to sadly, it takes a lot of shit to get that to that point, but there's a lot of people, I think, a lot of women who, when they do get there, I'm very glad for them because they're just, you know, so precious and unique and special. And you finally realize that you are better than what you are dealing with. So this whole right just eludes that to me. It's a great moniker for her, Beast. And she just always stays on the flow. So nice. I cannot do that, so I'm always envious that way when you guys can. But I thought it was a fantastic write. Excellent, excellent. Well-deserved of the silver, for sure. So, end comment.
Excellent comment. Victoria, what did you think?
I love Beast. I think that she is so freaking masterful in her craft, and I aspire to be as good as her, genuinely. I mean, the production of it, the composition of it, every single one of her pieces, I'm always able to just go back and listen to it a billion times. I'm fairly certain at this point my phone, when it turns on, is like, you must be here to listen to Beast, because SoundCloud just starts playing and it's Beast. And so that is just the fact of my nature. You may have a hug and kiss once I'm done, baby. Go in your room. I'll be right there. No? Are you going to stay with me, Bubby?
Mm-hmm.
What are you eating? Oh, my gosh, you're eating candy. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. We'll eat candy. As I was saying, wonderful children. I will be right there, my loves. Go. So what I find so masterful about all of this, though, is that she always tells a story. And it's done in a way that it kind of mimics what she's talking about. So in this one, there's snake in the grass, you know, that idea of this venomous, dangerous creature sneaking up on you that you're not aware of, kind of these warning signs of the bad that's going to come if we aren't aware of our surroundings. And that's kind of the lesson that she's learned. But in the same way, if you look at the form of her poetry, it's almost done in a way that is like the movement of a snake. And I should know, because I have 9 of them currently, and at one point had 48 of them. So I do consider myself a snake expert. I love snakes. I have a massive one on my calf. But she does this really beautiful thing where it's not just the words that she uses. It's not just the beat that she uses, but even the forms of her poetry tend to weave into this slithering. It's kind of this gentle weaving, and it's done elegantly and slowly and methodically. And many times we look at poems like this and it's like, oh, it kind of looks like a wave. But in this case, it also mimics that of a snake. And so the decision to pull yourself away from there, become aware, the learning from the first bite and becoming something more, moving away, the way that a constrictor snake even kind of gets you in its grasp and weaves around you. And that's what I have, is constrictors. They're cute and they're cuddly until they bite you in the chest because they have a high feeding, a high prey drive. There's a lot of depth to this, not just in the idea of a venomous snake, but also those that are constrictors and the way that they sneak up on their prey. They are ambush predators. They're not there to chase after you for ages. They sneak up on you when you don't anticipate it. They latch on and they take every single thing that they possibly can. And that's why we see people who have gaping wounds in their legs from venomous snakes that destroy the tissue. We see people who can lose limbs because of constrictors. We see lots of damage that can be done by these creatures that maybe we don't think that they're a danger, or maybe we just don't see them. And that speaks so beautifully to even the story that she's telling. She dealt with a snake in the grass. She didn't know better. She wasn't aware of her surroundings. Maybe she was naive in thinking that it was only to come and find out that maybe it isn't. And so she grows beyond that, always remembering, though, that there's a snake in the grass. There can always be a snake in the grass, no matter how safe we think we are. So truly, she is a master of her craft. Absolutely.
Well said. I'm glad you pointed out the form, because it is amazing how she can make it work, where you can see it as a snake, you can hear it, and it sounds so wonderful, and reading it is amazing. So it works on so many levels, and I mean, just making it the right shape, I would probably mess up all of the words trying to make it fit. So she is multi-talented, being able to make it work in every way. Our next audio is by Bex Eggs and Cheese, Rebecca Robinson. Here she is.
Thank you.
Her voice, and she goes to the music with this like natural kind of flow where I want to see her in a bar on a stage. I mean, maybe even a concert, but there's something about like a more intimate space where it's a small crowd, and she's up there on a stool. I can just imagine her performing and just having so much expression in her face as she performs, because I think she's very emotive in her songs, in her lyrics, and in the way that she presents them. I like the idea of us all being stained glass, because, you know, stained glass is gorgeous, but there's external factors that have tainted what was once clear and pure. But put it all together, all of those mixed, broken pieces of different colors, and it ends up being like a gorgeous mosaic. We're all just stained glass. I think that's a cool metaphor. She has a nice way of structuring her songs too. I keep thinking that she's a natural, but maybe it's not so much being a natural as putting a lot of time and effort into it. Sometimes people who try really hard can make it seem easy because they're so good at it. And it seems like it's just second nature to her, but I think she puts a lot of work in. Rima, what were your thoughts?
I thought, after reading her author's note, I feel like something happened just prior to this, right? Because she sure lets us know in her author's note. So, you know, and sometimes that happens. Something will happen, and you'll write about it right away. Or it could have happened previously. I don't know, but it sounds very personal for sure. And I also, I like your bar, you know, that I could see something cozy, something small and comfortable. Definitely could see that. And I no longer smoke weed. nor do I condone it. But if I did, I could see me smoking a bowl and then just putting on a track from Bex and chilling. It gives me a good vibe that way, you know, just a nice, chill voice. And she's very, very comfortable. Man, she's just, like, so comfortable on the microphone that it's, like, second nature sometimes. I remember way, way back when she used to battle. And now she's so far beyond that. She's just, like, a very talented singer. And I'm glad that she's found you know, a very, very good spot for her talent. Excellent track, excellent write, and whatever happened there, you know, I hope she told them people to go fuck themselves. End comment.
That seems to be the theme of a lot of her poems lately, so I think she has, but she's still feeling it. I don't know the story there, but there's a lot of feels, a lot of angry feels in her entries of late. Victoria, what were your thoughts?
I have to say, I love first and foremost her voice. There's always a beautiful smokiness to it that just reminds me of those old jazz or blues bars. Kind of, you know, just the voice that matches the ambiance. And typically they're going to be telling those deep stories that we just relate to innately. And what I really connect with her on this one is the musings of how the world really doesn't care about us. It's oddly applicable for what I'm dealing with at work right now. We just hired a guy. My last tax manager left, and so I had to hire a new one. And the new one has a different credential behind his name than I do, and he thinks he's in some ways superior because he's older than me, but he's not more knowledgeable. And there's just like little underminings, you know, dealing with like, this is how the ERC should be handled on an 1120S when we're amending the income taxes for what they got. And he had no idea what I'm talking about, but of course he'll take the credit for it. And it's just this reminder that people are not your friends. Not that all people aren't your friends, but because I think you guys are my friends, so please don't prove me wrong. but there is a lot of the world that is out there that is not your friend. There are a lot of people that are out there that are out for their personal gain. And honestly, most of the time they will take it at your cost because we live in a world, that is all about how do I get ahead without having to pay the price to do it. And so to me, this really speaks of that. It speaks of the people who will latch onto you to get ahead and who will leave you with nothing. The toxic relationships where people take from you without consideration for if it's going to be your demise. I mean, there is not, in many ways, there is not the ability that people pause and think outside of themselves. And to me, this speaks to that. This speaks to someone who's aware of that and perhaps even their own desire to change that. You can tell me what you want. That doesn't mean that you're going to get it. And I don't have to build up my walls to protect me from you. You're just not going to come near me. It's talking about someone who is starting to fight for what they want. Not that they have to take it from anybody else to do that, but they are fighting for their place. They are fighting to be seen, knowing that as you grow, it will draw in those that are bad. I just recently actually read, not to go off in my weird little colloquial ideas, but I just recently read that successful women will often attract a narcissist because it's someone who's going to come and laud you and then take from you until you're shriveled and much less than what you were when you began. And I, in many ways, this reminds me of that. This reminds me of those that come and take and disregard. And here is her testament to no longer play into that pattern. So it's marvelous, and it's sung in such a way that you can't help but get wrapped up in it. So beautiful, beautiful, right?
Thank you, Victoria. unfortunately, we are all out of time. Blog Talk has cut us off. So next time, we will get together and continue Contest 3. We still have something from Diane, Felon, Ghetto Child, Stelina for Contest 3. And then we have a whole bunch more in Contest 4. So we will work out a time where at least a few of us can get together and record something for the next chapter, because there are 10 contests to cover and we are only on number 3. Thank you so much, Rima Rima and Victoria, for calling in and commenting with me. And thank you to everybody who gave us permission to play your songs.
Thank you for having me. I love you guys. God bless you. I'll see you next time. Stay safe.
Love you guys. Good night.
Love you too.
Good night.
Good night.